So we're trying to help the
Zayn Malik
and his followers, whoever is following him out there.
You guys hear that? So we got, so Zayn Malik, now he's getting a message straight from the Sheikh. I always say, these are for someone to reflect. If it comes to him or them, these are signs.
Okay.
Can we say that, Sheikh?
Absolutely. Dear Zayn and your supporters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You're a good person. And that's what he is saying that he's trying to do.
So what do you got? He's going to get, what, more women? Mm. He's going to chase the things that men chase, right? Glamour, glitz, fame. And at the end, what is it?
Emptiness.
Emptiness.
Hollow.
So that's my question now.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? Welcome to the Dean Show. Guess who I have in the studio? No stranger to the show, Dr. Kareem Abu Zayd. How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, doing wonderful.
How was your trip?
Oh, it was very interesting.
Yeah?
I mean, I was long,
Yeah,
to say the least, yes.
Where are you coming from?
Well, Doha. And
ooh, no, okay.
Yeah, and I was in Egypt before.
Yeah.
And I went through Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, Egypt and Doha are not doing very well now. So I have to go through another medium, you know, was Kuwait. So it was very interesting, you know.
Do you feel, even though we're not traveling like at those times in the past, but it reminds me of Hadith. And if you can explain, it reminds me of the Prophet, some paraphrasing the Hadith about traveling being somewhat like of a torture. Is that authentic hadith?
It is, yeah. I mean, no, it is. The meaning is correct there.
Can you, for the people who have never heard this hadith, and then equate it like?
Well, the statement travel is a torture or a piece of a kind of a punishment. This has not been established.
Yeah.
But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hinted in other hadith that traveling is a difficult. And the Sharia recognizes that. You could shorten the salah. If you're fasting the mandatory fast, you could actually break your fast if you feel that burden. Because you're a stranger. You know, when you travel, you don't control your surroundings. You have to go through, already orchestrated surroundings, and you have no choice over it. And that is why Hijrah is one of the greatest acts in Islam, that you actually move from your comfort zone to save your religion and go somewhere else where you don't control necessarily what's happening there.
Yeah. How has the struggles been? How's life been? How is it someone thinks like, okay, well, you're a man of knowledge, you're someone who's dedicated your life to this deen. We have that wonderful story you shared with us, how you actually, I ask you, when did you embrace Islam? No, you were Muslim, but then you had a sheikh himself. He really motivated you. And that's being around good people and hearing good things, and that kind of stimulated it brought you to your full potential. But you still are in the struggle like all of us, right?
Well,
and how do you the point I'm making is, how do you handle it? How do you, when the struggle, when the test comes, right? You know it's a test. You're being tested. You still, you know all the hadith, the ayahs. You know, your patients are tested, are they?
Well, I don't know all the hadith or all the ayahs. I try
most
to,
of the
yes.
hadith on patients
well,
and whatnot,
yes,
but you're
yes.
still human. So how do you, like, what are the techniques you use when you either have a community member, a family member, and they're testing you?
Well, I think that the whole thing right now, Eddie, is the people offering to buy your soul for, you know, a token.
People offering to buy your soul?
For a token, yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically compromise your religion.
You have a lot of that?
Oh, yeah. 100%, yeah.
Scholars for dollars?
Yeah, scholars for dollars.
Is that what it's called?
Scholars for fame.
Uh-huh.
Scholars for position. Scholars for more Facebook fans, scholars for more followers. That's a very dangerous trend, and I happened to spend a couple of days with Bilal Phillips, who's no stranger to you in Doha. So
yeah. And that's our shaykh. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been talking about that, you know, right and left, and it's the challenge now, you know, if you're attributed to knowledge, and then you have to show yourself in a certain way to accommodate the cameras, to accommodate the. You know, I feel comfortable being with you because you never dictate what I'm going to say. And sometimes I question whether you're going to broadcast something that I said, and I found you broadcasting it, and that's why I show up again.
Alhamdulillah.
But some other places I never show up again because, you know, and it's very challenging. I think that's where the test is. And you really understand the depth of Hadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which one of his spouses would narrate that every day he will say, "Oh Allah, you turn hearts around, you change hearts, you know, you keep my heart steadfast. You know, it's you know, ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. You know, steadfastness is a very difficult task now. Because there are a lot of offerings, and it's very testy, you know, in a way. And I think that's where the, you know, the exertion of patience and in that area, in my opinion, is more important than somebody who's trying to make you look ignorant or somebody who's trying to take something away from you dunya-wise. You know, I don't care, you know, you just take it if you want my position. If you want my money, take it. But that area, that's really, you know, you got to be very protective of that. You can't let people intrude in this area. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous.
What about other general things that happen in life? Family, friends? How do you deal with these things? Like, you have Islam is a beautiful thing, gives you the tools, right? But how do you, in a practical way, put these tools into effect?
Immediately, you know, Islam is so beautiful, and this is the aqidat al-qada wal-qadr, you know, the belief system pertaining to destiny and the reward for patience. And, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Imagine this. When they are inflicted with something bad, musiba, anything that is bad, death is the top of the line, they will yastarja. He will say, I will go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will reward me for my patience. You see, these sins which we commit, which we all do, you know, we're not perfect. The fitna that we face with our family members, spouses, friends, imagine that fitan expiate these sins. Mm. You know, so if I end up, you know, having some tough time with my spouse, you know, I just look at it this way, you know, I must have done something that is wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it up.
Okay, so this is what I'm looking for, these gems of wisdom. Now, how to, because it's a state of mind now. Now you get yourself, either you drive yourself crazy and torture mm-hmm. yourself, or you just gave a great example, like something like, okay, I'm getting rid of some of my bad deeds, right? I must have done
something. Al-Hasan al-Basri, a famous predecessor, he used to say, "By Allah, I know the consequence of my sin in the manner my animal treats me." Mm-hmm. In my, you know, imagine my animal, my dabba, my camel, horse, or whatever I'm riding. If it is obedient, if it is, then I'm doing okay. If they bounce, and I know that my animal knows that, you know, in the sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using the animal to expiate my sins. And I think, you know, this is what Iman, faith, offers, which no other, you know, existing ideology in the face of this earth can offer. And this is what is missing in our lives, that we do not employ these variables. And, you know, they are out there in the books, and I'm sure a lot of the viewers believe in them, but they do not take them into action. And that takes time, mm-hmm. you know, that takes time and takes also a level of certainty Iman. You know, we believe Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that Iman goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your Iman is hitting low, certainly you're not going to react in the same manner like your Iman is up. And how Iman goes up and down? If you're obedient. So you have to maintain that level of obedience, that minimum at least amount level of obedience in order to employ these variables. But you can't be abandoning the Salah. You can't be indulging into sinning and expect these variables to come handy. It doesn't go this way.
But how do you deal with, so that's from you looking at yourself and you're in that predicament. But now if you're dealing with someone and you're, that's keeping you calm, right, from panicking and getting, you know, at a level and saying things you shouldn't be saying. But how about dealing with the other person? Let's say that person is really provoking you, right? It's 1 minute, 2 minutes, three, and they just keep going. And now you're trying to give them that same perspective and that same advice, but we all have our buttons. How do you deal? Have you dealt with people like that where really, like right now you're calm, but it seems like it's so, the word is so powerful. Someone can say one word or they can attribute something bad to you, evil to you, and you're like, hold on, that's a lie. They're lying on you or they're saying something. And now, all of a sudden, you're not in control of your emotions. And next thing you know, things are flaring up inside, right? Have you ever been in that? How do you deal with that?
This happens to almost everybody.
All
the time. Okay. I mean, all the time, but, you know.
Because a lot of these things are, it's nice to, it's there, it's truth, but now you're in the situation. Now Allah test you.
Shall I tell you the solution for that?
Please.
Which I'm not claiming that I do, by the way. I'm striving.
Yeah.
You know, and I lose it sometimes. We all do, but we're human. But you know the third chapter revealed in the Quran? Do you know what's the name of that chapter?
Surah Al-Imran.
So the first chapter was Iqra, read. And then the revelation stopped for a while. Then after that, Al-Muddathir was revealed. Oh, wrapped up in your garment, rise and warn people. Then immediately after it, Al-Muzzammil was revealed. What is Al-Muzzammil? Pray tahajjud. Pray tahajjud at night. Why? Because you're going to go out there and you're going to face the people. You see, I think, Eddie, the cornerstone here or the bottom line here, looking at yourself, who are you out there in this world? You're someone who is trying to help people come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this particular situation, Allah told him, for you to be able to handle all these challenges, all these insults, all these provocative, if this is proper English, statements, whatever you hinted to, pray tahajjud at night. This is one of the solutions to be, and I'm telling you, في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه في البخاري ومسلم the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that when we go to sleep at night the shaitan ties three knots in the back of our heads when we wake up and remember Allah الحمد لله الذي أحيانا one knot is untied when we make wudu another knot is untied the third one when you make salah right then the Prophet said what then he will wake up in the morning having a very good attitude towards that أصبح طيبا نفسي You know, smiling, cheer. Someone like this, he can't move. You can provoke him as long as you want. That's, you see, that's the attitude. But the other one who sleeps throughout the night and he doesn't, you know, get that seclusion, that moments, that time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time when you're by yourself, no distractions, when you waste that time, then you wake up, you're hunted, basically, by those people. So this is, and look at the end of Surah Al-Hijr. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ Allah is addressing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that your chest is tightened. You know, have you ever, you know that tight chest?
Yes.
You're angry. We know that. We know that يَضِيقُ صَدْرِكَ بِمَا because of what they say about you, what they say to you. You're possessed by a jinni, you're a sorcerer, you're a liar. Imagine, this is what, it even escalated to physical harm. How should I respond to them? Allah, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ سِدْ هَدَوَى سَبِّحْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ In the salah. You see, that's where, again, I go back to the subject of Iman. That's where it becomes like exactly what you you mentioned regarding calamity a minute ago, exactly with this too. That is why in the same hadith regarding the person waking up in the morning with a good attitude towards life, the Prophet said, oh, the one who sleeps throughout the night, أَصْبَحَ خَبِيثَ النَّفْسِ خَبِيثِ النَّفْسِ. His nafs is very not pure, is a wicked. He's ready. The first fight he's going to put is with his wife in the morning.
So even if a person is praying, waking up for Fajr, doesn't miss Fajr or any of the other prayers?
Possibly, but that's, you see, that's the extra that you have to say.
Can you qualify if you get up 15 minutes before Fajr? This is officially, counted as the night prayer.
Even with the Rasul, you see, you don't have to do this. I don't want the viewers to have the impression that it's mandatory. Mm-hmm. It was mandatory, by the way, upon the Prophet and his companions for 1 year. Imagine this: they had to pray tahajjud to be able to face what they face, and we're going through the same time, same circumstances almost. And Muslims are not praying five times. So, just to answer your question, just Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used later on when this was abrogated. And the five daily prayers were, instituted in Islam. The Prophet ﷺ still prayed tahajjud because the majority of the jurists, they said that it was still mandatory upon him as a prophet, one of his particulars. But he would pray tahajjud, then he would wake up Aisha radiallahu anha, his wife, just to pray one witr at night. Just one witr. So witr, don't leave the witr. Don't leave, this will help you develop a good attitude.
So this officially, so we said a quarter before 15 minutes, 10 minutes before Fajr breaks, dawn breaks, you pray. That's officially night prayer. You count it in this, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's not equal to someone who prays, 1 hour, 2 hours. I mean, the more you give, the more you get back.
Yeah, the more you give, the more. But now you also, and it's officially counted if you pray after Isha, you pray the witr.
Well,
is it counted as a night prayer also?
They named, all of this is night prayers.
Yeah.
Because it's observed at night. But the tahajjud, they connected it with the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends in a way that suits His Majesty, which is the final third of the night. When He comes down, and we believe that. We believe that Allah comes down in a way that suits His Majesty. We don't know how. We don't ask how. We're not interested, but we believe it. Mm-hmm. And He calls upon us and He says, anybody wants forgiveness? Anybody wants tawbah? Imagine every day Allah does this. Every night, I'm sorry, Allah does this. So they connected Salat al-Tahajjud to that time. You're getting it. Mm-hmm. But if you observe Witr after Isha, it's all Layl, nightly prayers. But al-Tahajjud is exclusive to that. That's why it's called Salat al-Tahajjud. In Ramadan, we call it Salat al-Taraweeh. Because that's how it's done in Ramadan, after Isha. You understand? Yeah. So, Taraweeh, Tahajjud, Al-Qiyam, night prayers, they are all the same thing. But when you use the word Tahajjud, you're really referring to the final third of the night.
I had a situation, this is when I just started practicing. I was in the early years, started practicing. And it was a lot of us, I didn't have that much of a problem, but for many people I know it can be. In the beginning stages, getting up for Fajr. When I started praying, That was it. And that was the one thing. The fear of death came over me, and I said, what does my Creator want from me? What does Allah want from me? That's it. Prayer was number one. I started praying. Right? I started praying. And then now you're learning as you go along. You're learning these things. Mm-hmm. And I remember one brother brought to my attention, we were traveling together, and I had just prayed the Fajr. And then he got upset because I didn't pray the Sunnah. He was a little bit tough on me, and I didn't like the way he approached me. So then, my ego kicked in a little bit, early stages. But then later, I started to think about it. And then I started to research, and I said, because I was like, look, I'm already doing the basics. Don't put no more on me, right? Mm-hmm. So here, it's just like, now, it's how do we balance it out? Because for some people, it's even hard enough just to get them to pray. Mm-hmm. Now, adding all these things. Now, alhamdulillah, after that, I went, and now I'll never miss that. That sunnah before the Fajr, no way to even miss that. But I can't imagine some people just to get up to pray, and then now they're hearing all these things. Where's that fine balance?
First of all, just to touch on your situation, the Prophet ﷺ never abandoned two nafilas, mm-hmm. whether he's a resident or whether he's a traveler. Yeah. Witr, minimum one rak'ah, you can do that. And the two rak'ahs before Fajr. And that's why maybe your body was upset.
Yeah.
So even though
he never abandoned this.
No.
Yeah.
Even though that's the thing about.
See, I didn't know that at that time.
You see that gave emphasis to their importance. Even though you're allowed or you have a license to cut down or shorten certain Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha, halfway almost 4 into 2. Yet he would. So imagine he would pray Isha 2 rak'ahs. Which is 4 initially, but yet he would pray witr. So he never abandoned those, al-witr and the 2 rak'ahs before Fajr. And the Prophet ﷺ said about those 2 rak'ahs, rak'atay al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. A lot of Muslims, by the way, may assume that hadith applies to the 2 mandatory. No, the Prophet ﷺ actually meant the 2 rak'ahs before Fajr. And in those 2 rak'ahs, you should shorten them. You should not make them prolonged. That's not actually a sunnah. And imagine how you begin your day with. You recite in the first rak'ah, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And the second rak'ah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ.
Yes.
Imagine it's a declaration of who you are mm-hmm. throughout the day. Imagine this. You're making that. There are other wording that you could also recite the verses, the similar verses in Baqarah al-Imran. قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ قُلْ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ say we believe in Allah and what was revealed upon Ibrahim. And there are 2 verses very similar but different syntax in Baqarah al-Imran. We come back to your issue here, which is, some people who are starting. I'm sorry, I'm not going to give emphasis on these.
That's what I'm saying. No. The guy just took shahada at your masjid, and he's traveling with you, and you're praying, and you're like...
No, take it easy.
Okay.
Yeah, take it easy. You see, people like those, just make sure that they fulfill the mandatory to begin with. And after that, they can build on this. And by the way, I go back to the Salatul Tahajjud, which I was talking about. And this is a big mistake that a lot of the brothers do, and this is connected to the issue that you're bringing up, that he reads, for example, the biography of our predecessors or our Sahaba, that they used to pray 2-3 hours every night, tahajjud and so forth. And the first night he wakes up for tahajjud, he want to do like them. He will never wake up again. Because these companions or these predecessors or those people who have a good rapport regarding this particular salah, they built up themselves to that. Some of them said, I kept working hard on my nafs for 20 years just to wake up for tahajjud.
That was, what scholar was that? Was it Hassan al-Basri?
Others. I don't think Hassan al-Basri said that, but someone else that I don't
know. It was a great scholar. I heard that. 20 years.
Just to Ibn Sirin. So
now someone's like, hold on. If he's how does someone take that where, like, that's a scholar in Islam. That's
right.
Someone, and he's 20 years. What about
the guy? See, that's where the mistake that a lot of the brothers do regarding this subject, that he want to wake up and he want to be like Hassan al-Basri. No. Don't do this, or just build up. Make your tahajjud, pray 11 rak'ahs, read Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, read Idha Ja'a Nasrullah al-Fath, short surahs, make it a half hour. Mm-hmm. The following day, maybe 35. Like you work out. Mm-hmm. How do you work out?
Yes.
When you abandon working out, how do you work out? Don't you build up?
You build up, yeah. You go smaller weight, then you build up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly like that, mm-hmm. And convince yourself of it, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to some... Okay, so just finishing off there. Witr, odd number, so you can technically... Usually it's 3, but if you want...
One is fine.
You could just do 1.
Yes.
So that would be after Isha.
Well, Shafa and Witr. So you should do 2 Shafa and 1 Witr.
Yeah.
That's ideally. Yes.
Okay, so that would be 2, and then... So after
Isha... But if
Isha,
you pray 1, that's enough. Jazakallahu khairan.
1 after, you're very tired, long day.
1 is fine.
So now you prayed 4 rak'ah Isha, and now you just do 1. You've qualified as a night. That's officially also technically night prayer.
You have got a...
You're counted. We're trying to get the count. Where you're counted in.
Yeah, you're counting in. Yeah.
And you're not excluded as... All right, so we got that covered. Moving on to some contemporary issues. The media, how much impact it has on not just the kids, the youth, and it's sad reality that most of the people, that most of the youth and adults, they kind of, you get hypnotized with the things that we're not supposed to be hypnotized with. And sometimes a person can have a name. I don't know if you've ever heard of, it's a beautiful name. Zane? What do you think? Zane? That's one of his, right? Zane?
Yeah, Zane.
Malik.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very famous person out there, Zayn Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's someone who's a singer, pop star. So his parents probably were Muslim. I think his mother accepted Islam. Now,
is that the brother from South Africa?
Is he from South Africa? No.
No.
But he left Islam.
Oh, so he left Islam.
He left Islam.
So he's not. Yeah, okay.
But
the other one is called Zayn Bika. Yeah, the guy who chants.
No, Zayn Bika. Yeah, Zayn Bika. He was from South Africa. Did you go down? I met him in when we went to peace for the peace conference. Were you at the peace conference?
No.
He was there. Yeah. I met him there. Very nice brother. Yeah. But the point here is, many youth, many people, many of these YouTube stars or even, you know, commercial pop stars, they might have a Muslim name, and Muslims get drawn into that. They say, oh, he said Assalamu alaikum, said Allahu Akbar. And now they just feel like because he's on the pop screen, they start, you know, identifying.
He's a scholar.
He's a scholar.
Yeah.
So you identify because the Muslim
name. Take
your
knowledge from him.
You feel kind of empowered, but then he leaves Islam. But now you'll see a lot of Muslims, they're very agitated. They're like, how can you leave this religion? How can you? So you got a whole hodgepodge of things going on. And, you know, what is your, like, you know, take, you know, when you're laughing, what do you got to say?
This is orchestrated from years.
Oh, set up.
Oh, big time. There is a scene in the Day of Judgment, and please allow me time to explain it.
Yes.
Chapter, I believe, 34, called Saba. And please, if you can just put it on the screen.
So are you saying before you go on that the music industry, they're setting this up, they're taking these Muslims, putting them out there to draw Muslims in.
It's deeper than that.
Huh?
It's deeper than that. And I'll show you how.
Okay.
The scene is, I think, verses 31, 33.
Of the Quran.
The chapter, I think, 34, Saba. It's called Saba.
We could say Quran, verbatim word of the Almighty, the Creator God.
Yes. A scene in the Day of Judgment where the people who controlled the resources in the world and the people who just followed them are head to head in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
So those who were oppressed, who had no say about what the other people were saying, has it been for you, we would have been believers. So they are rebuking them because they got them into that situation. They are in bad situation. They are both disbelievers to begin with, by the way. So basically the disbelievers are breaking into two groups. The oppressed, the weak, and the strong, the people who manage the media, manage the politics, manage the resources of the world. So those who are in power in this world, they will say to أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ إِجَّاءَكُمْ. Did we tell you not to do it? Did we tell you not to accept Islam, not to be devout Muslims, not to follow the true religion of Islam? We never forced you. بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. Look what the weak will say. بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. No, you never forced us. We agree. You never said that we have to do that. But the blotting and the deception that you set up for us, day in and day out. This is one of the blots out there that they do for Muslims. You know, putting to front certain icons for Muslims, and they associate them with Islam. Lately, this has been happening.
You've seen that, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a trend. This is our orchestra. Listen. You know, the people in the past were so honest, you know, about, you know, their attitude towards Islam. But right now, that plotting and deception is all over the place. I'll give you another example that I was guilty of this. And please, in Egypt, that's where I come from originally, when the moon of the Muharram, which is the first month in the lunar calendar, is seen, and the Hijrah, the story of the Hijrah, they always show a movie in Egypt, in the Egyptian television, which we would wait as children every year for that movie to watch, mm-hmm. about the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very interesting. Now, you watch in that movie, okay, the disbelievers have the longest beard. actually that scene when they met in order to kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Satan appeared in a form of a human. He had actually the longest beard. And what about the companions? They showed him clean shaved. Or at least, you know, what they call, what was it, goatee, something like that? A little goatee.
So the pagans, they're the ones they showed him with the longest beard.
With the beard.
Yeah.
Now, me as a child, when I watch that, I associate evil with what?
With the beard.
And I associate good guys with what?
Oh, it's set up like that. So the Sahaba who had the biggest beard.
Exactly.
Like Jesus had the biggest beard, Moses.
It's the whole thing is orchestrated. Yeah. And now it's the same thing. The same thing. Look at the soap operas. Look at the movies. Even in America and Hollywood, when they want to show an evil guy, it has changed a little bit, I mean, to my knowledge. If they want to show some, they show some guy, you know, with a beard. But the guy who is cool, the guy who is character, he's a guy who drinks, guy who never prays. That's exactly how it's set up for our youth. And this is what driving people to confusion. And this is what the people, the oppressed and the weak meant in addressing the strong. Listen, yes, you never forced us to leave Islam. You never forced us to become disbelievers. But the way that you set up the scene for us, you deceived us. You made us believe that. You know, I remember quite well that hadith, you know, of the boy and the king in connection to that. You know, the hadith, the trench, the people of the trench. Mm-hmm. So there was this king who was ruling his kingdom using what? Deception. He's relying on a sorcerer.
Yes.
A main sorcerer. You remember that hadith, right? Sahih Imam Muslim. Mm-hmm. And what is sorcery? Sorcery is media. Sorcery is deception. Is making people see things, but you know, but not the true things. Is a different. You see a stick into a snake. You see a stick. He's about to die. You know, he's about to die. And that art of deception, of plotting, of deceiving the people, will die with him. So he went to the king and he said, "Listen, your rule is in your kingdom is your kingship is in danger if I die, and this will be buried with me. People are going to realize who you are, and you're lying, and the system is not good. Your system, that pagan system, is not good. That non-Islamic Jahiliyyah system is not good. What do you want? I want the smartest young boy in this kingdom. I want to teach him." That's exactly what's happening in the world now. And this is what is driving. So he started teaching him sorcery, how to lie. That's exactly what they are doing to our youth right now, is they are taking them gradually. You see, these guys in the past, and that's what I meant, the people in the past were more honest. These people here are not honest. They are bringing to the front the wicked people. Imagine that. And the guy plays the most nice guy in a movie. And if you look at him, you'll find out that he's, you know, his biography is out of this world. So they associate his personal life to the role he's playing. You understand? His Islam, his brand of Islam, to who he, and that's how they want our youth to take the religion from. And this is dangerous.
Let's paint a picture here. For instance, you have, I mean, you do your best. You're a parent he's implementing Islam to the best of your ability. You have your kids coming up. You come from maybe overseas, and you're not really, you don't hear the normal typical curse words out there. So you think, oh, it's just, you know, kids in a boy band. They're listening to, he's Zayn Malik. He's Muslim. Let me listen to him. So he ends up leaving Islam. And now the kid, he hears him, and now he picks up on this. For instance, his quote from Zayn Malik, he says, and again, we do this out of the love. I mean, this is something that we hope, even if it doesn't penetrate and reach someone like him, to come back and to really live purpose of life and turn their heart back to their creator. But the youth out there, you know, sending a message, and even adults. For instance, Zayn Malik is saying, I don't believe you need to eat a certain meat that's been prayed over a certain way. So now your kid starts, you've been teaching your kid, like, you know, say Bismillah, right, in the name of God, whatnot. And he picks up on this again. Going on, I don't believe you need to read a prayer in a certain language five times a day. Now your kid's like, why am I, Zayn Malik, he's Muslim, why is he stops praying? He says, continuing on, I don't believe any of it. I just believe if you're a good person, everything is going to go right for you. I mean, that makes sense. Okay, if I'm just going to be good, what's the big deal? Now I could just skip all of the halal meat and the saying bismillah and all the other things and praying five times a day, fasting and all that. I'm a good person. I'm spiritual. I still believe in Allah and God. What's the problem, Sheikh?
You know, I like...
Have you heard these arguments?
Well, I like, first of all, your approach.
That
we're not trying to pick on the guy.
No.
I really, it's the first time I hear of him, and I'm glad, you know.
First time?
I never heard of the guy. I mean,
kids know him. The youth knows
him.
I'm in
a different world.
Yeah.
A lot of people tell me I live in a different planet, and alhamdulillah, I'm happy. I'm happy with it. So I think that approach that you said, we're not trying to be mean, we're not trying to be rude, we're trying to help the brother, even Zayn.
Zayn Malik, yeah.
Hopefully he will hear that message. You know, that's what our messenger taught us, that be merciful to... imagine that one day somebody approached, a young man approached the Prophet ﷺ saying, can I have a permission to commit adultery? Imagine this. Imagine he's asking a permission from the Prophet ﷺ to commit adultery. And the companions were about to just jump on and say, no, come closer. Would you like someone to do this to your mother, to your daughter, sister? And he actually kept asking, no. But people also don't like, that's not, you know. So, also in more than one occasion, some of the companions would curse people, individuals, when they were, going through the criminal punishment in Islam, whatever it is, for what they had done. So the Prophet ﷺ would say to these companions, don't be a helper to shaitan against him. Don't say these things. Rather help him. So we're trying to help the
Zayn Malik.
Zayn Malik and his followers, whoever is following him out there.
You guys hear that? So so Zayn Malik, now he's getting a message straight from the Sheikh. I always say, these are for someone to reflect. If it comes to him or them, these are signs.
Okay.
Can we say that, Sheikh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to tell, you know, I'm not going to go over do not eat meat, do not eat that, and all of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to leave this alone for now.
Yeah.
But, you know, dear Zayn and your supporters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You're a good person. And that's what he is saying that he's trying to do.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a good person, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's trying
to do?
That's
what he's saying, yeah.
He's trying to be a good person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said what? I was sent, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لُؤْتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I was sent to perfect the goodness of people, in people. Meaning to produce good people.
Yes.
So the Prophet is a good person. And meanwhile, he was sent to produce good people. And yet he prayed, yet he fasted, yet he ate the meat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated. So why not be a good person and do that too? You know, in submission to your creator. You understand? That's not something that is right. Add to this, how did the scholars of tafsir explain the verse وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ? And I would love the viewers to go and open Ibn Kathir and look and see what they said. You know what the scholar said? Ali ibn Abi Talib said, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your character is the deen. And when Aisha was asked, I'm sure many speakers mentioned that hadith in front of you. How is the Prophet's character? What did they say? What did she say? The Quran, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, here is the thing. When you connect being good with the revelation, it will be consistent. I think the point I'm trying to make, in America here 100 years ago, a relation between a man and a woman out of wedlock, in America, in the West, was it acceptable?
Not at all, no.
Now, what about that?
It kept progressing. It went from not acceptable to dad was in the back. They went to the drive-in.
There you go. So when you tie, look at this. When you tie being good to the human societal norms, the human production, the culture, to what people consider to be good, this is going to change. But when you tie to divine, and this is why a lot of the people don't understand. You understand this? That the scholars from the past, when they wanted, if they wanted to author books on good character, on being good, you know where they would tie this to? To aqidah, to the belief system, because connected to what you believe in. So the point I'm trying to make here is, who says this is good and this is bad? Is the one who said, eat that and do not eat that. Do this and do not do this.
The one who created you.
Yes, the one who created you. Add to this, brother Zain and his followers, you see, being good is not something that is mystic. You know, people become good out there if he drinks a Miller Lite or
Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke, or you know, that's how you become cool.
Yeah.
Or maybe smoke a joint, or get sniff some white stuff in your that's how you.
They call it nose candy. Yeah.
Yeah, you become relaxed. You become cool. I mean, that's how. No, in Islam, we become cool when I stick to that command. When I pray. When I say Bismillah. Well, that's my source of coolness. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Sabr is a character. It's good, right? It's good to be patient, right? Mm-hmm. O ye who believe, seek help in patience and what? Salah. Salah is a ritual. You see, what will give you the character, the good, is the ritual. You see, when you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you become... when you submit yourself to Allah and you say, I hear and obey, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you that character. Because listen, characters are not, a lot of the people may not understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of that, is the source of all of this. For you to be, wasbir, look at this, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Be patient. And the only way for you to be patient is Allah. Allah must make you patient. But now for you to get that patience, what do you have to do? Submit to Allah. Say, I hear and I obey. I think they are getting it wrong, all wrong. And they will find out very soon that this formula is a failing one.
We hear this a lot from a lot of intelligent people. People will say, well, I believe in God, and I believe that God gave me the faculties, the ability to distinguish what's right and what's wrong. So as long as I'm a good person, I'm A-okay. But what you're saying here is that that's subjective. That changes. One man's right is another man's wrong.
No.
Right? So there's it's not an absolute. But that makes sense. When you turn to the Creator, and that just, I cannot, we're intelligent human beings, they won't accept this for themselves, this foolishness that someone would put together a company, bring the people on, and not give them a list of responsibility and rules.
You know what I said at the very beginning?
What?
You're trying to have as many followers as possible.
Uh-huh.
And if you limit yourself to that small, short area, you're going to lose masses.
Yeah.
So it's all about compromises. And that's the danger. You know, when you started the show with me and I told you this is where you're being tempted to sell your soul, you know. But unfortunately, I want to say this, and I'm not talking no more about Zain, because I'm sure Zain was deprived from knowledge of Islam. I'm sure. Only people who are, I don't want to use the word ignorant, because it may sound disrespectful. Only the people who lack the knowledge of Islam will speak like this.
True, not, but you got
true
some
knowledge.
You have some people, yes, they'll say that, no, I was brought up in Islam, right? I was educated in Islam.
Brought up in Islam doing what? Did you learn, or did you just take the cultural Islam?
That's a good point. So when you say you took just the cultural Islam, but not the true.
Did you learn who is Allah? Do you know what Tawheed is? Do you know the names and the attributes
most
of
people
Allah?
Will fail
they
here,
don't
then.
They don't, they don't, and that's what I'm talking about. So what I advise these brothers and these sisters, some of them are sisters, when you find yourself followed by masses like this, you can be a great benefit to this religion. Now invest some time in knowledge. And listen, you don't have to come to the masjid and sit in front of Sheikh Karim, you know, and show you your humility and humbleness. You have enough money to recruit people to come and teach you or whatever, you know, the basics of the religion. So when you speak, you don't show like that. You know, you don't appeal. This stuff is appealing to people who do not have the knowledge too.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who has the knowledge is going to laugh.
I've usually seen a pattern. I've seen people where they take off like this, and inshallah, the person maybe goes through some more journey and hardships in life, and then they come back, and maybe stuff like this gets to them if they're sincere, if they really want to be good, and they really want to, they love their Creator, then they will seek guidance from the divine, and the guidance from the divine, if you're sincerely asking your Creator, He's going to guide you back if you're genuine and sincere, right? Mm-hmm. But now if a person goes, like, for instance, you had someone like Sinead O'Connor, you've heard of her? She was like the Madonna of her time, like Sinead. She's a really big
Irish lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
She accepted Islam.
I saw you putting something on.
Made the shahada. She took the Islam. Yeah, yeah. And you see, she went through all of these different challenges in life. And it's very interesting. They have this term. Obviously, there's legitimate mental health issues.
Right.
But people are going through spiritual health issues. No one's talking about that.
No.
So she went through all of this, and now she finally found solace in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unfortunate. Maybe Zayn Malik, he has to go throughout and experience all these things. And I hope it's not too late. Because when you die, you don't get a second chance.
No.
It's done.
You see, for the viewers to understand the concept here, you see, there is a verse in the Quran which is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra and in Surah Al-Kahf, and regarding the story of the companions of the cave. مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Whoever Allah guides will be guided, and whoever Allah let astray, no one else will guide him. A lot of the Muslims don't understand this verse. And they confuse it with the Qadr and all of that. Allah guides and Allah didn't get. Look at this. All that the scholars have categorized guidance into two types. The first one is called the dalala, which is direction. Every human being in the face of this earth is entitled to receive the direction. Allah will show him that this Islam is the way. This is the truth. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Every person. Even the people who do not get it in this world, by the way, they get tested in the land of gathering, in the day of judgment. Some people. But every Muslim will be showing the truth, that this is the truth to go.
That this is the way of life.
This is the way of life. And this is the only way for you to be saved.
Submission to the will of the Creator.
They know it in the depth of their hearts. They know it because it matches their fitrah. You know when you have a software that you want to install in your system, it must have a matching something in this. It looks for, you know, and sometimes you have to download it.
Yes.
To connect.
It's compatible. Yeah.
Now, the decision is made in the heart. Will I compromise? But this is going to take my fame from me. This is going to take my Facebook page fans from me. This is going to take down my invitations. This is going to take down my... A decision is made. Will you commit yourself to that path?
Mm-hmm.
A decision is made. And that's where you have the amana, the freedom of choice. Now, Allah knows what you decided in your heart. Allah knows that. And as a result of this, Allah will take your hand. Like this lady, Allah taking her hand. Because
Sinead O'Connor.
She was looking for guidance.
Yeah.
In the depth of her heart. I don't know, but she was showing the way. And she decided, I'm going to follow it.
Sinead, yeah.
No, Allah takes her hand. And that's what the second type of guidance.
And she, now you'll see her, that sweetness of Imam.
May Allah
now
continue to bless her.
Ameen.
The second type of guidance is hidayatul ma'una, the support.
Now the support.
The support comes, is getting you mixing with the right people, with the right, you know, you see, based on the decision that you made in your heart. You understand?
Yes.
Well, look at this verse. A lot of people read that verse and say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, those who disbelieved, whether you warn them or warn them not, they will never believe.
Yeah.
Some of the people say, well, if they're not going to believe, why Allah is punishing them? No, look. Why they will not believe? خَتَمَ اللَّهُ. Allah sealed their hearts. Why? Because they were showing the truth and they said no to it. Allah said, we'll help you. We'll seal your heart. Enjoy life. We'll see you in the hereafter. You're getting that?
Yes.
So now, do you have time for this? Allah knows best. And that's the point that you brought up. You know, do you have time to go through the circle of life until... Because you know it's the truth. In your heart, you know it's the truth. And you abandon it and you left it for this world because you want to accommodate.
You might not never get it back. Now.
You may not get it back. And that's the risk that people take. We ask Allah that Allah give them the time. So we ask Allah to bless these brothers that they have the time to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's not in my hand. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
Those patterns, what I'm saying is you see that someone like Sinead O'Connor, may Allah continue to bless her and support her, where she went through all these things. She went through all that. She almost killed herself, and she has the fame and money and all that. But she came. She was sincere. She came to the truth, and may Allah keep her on the truth and bless her. Now you look at the patterns of, let's say, Zayn Malik, people who have gone down that road. You know that statistically, celebrities and these stars like this, they're 18 times more likely to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. So you see them when they go following their desire. Because what do you got? This is not, you know, your previous life before, you know what's out there, right? So what do you got? He's going to get, what, more women? Mm. He's going to chase the things that men chase, right? Glamour, glitz, fame. And at the end, what is it?
Emptiness. Hollow.
So that's my question now. Yeah. Is he going to really find what Sinead O'Connor found in Islam, where he left Islam? Is he going to find that anywhere else? Or maybe did he even really experience it, if you're not really living it properly, because you're Zayn Malik by name, Muslim by name, but how many Muslims are, you got to be living submission to the will of the Creator. Mm-hmm. So did you really experience it?
Mm-hmm. You see, a lot of the people, and I don't want this message to go out there from what we're saying, they associate being depressed and feeling down with the religion. And they associate being happy with the, you know, with being out there in the world and smoking and drinking and committing adultery. No, absolutely not. Actually, the real happiness is in Islam, in the religion. One of the predecessors, he said, "Wallahi inna lafi sa'ada." By Allah, we experience moments of joy. لو علم بها ملوك الأرض لجالدون عليها. If the people who own this world will know about it, they will come and try to take it away from us. You know, that's the happiness that you get by submitting to your Creator, and that's the joy. And you may be living in a small apartment, one room somewhere, but this world is so expansive for you. You know, and that's how it will be reflected in the grave. Mm-hmm. You know, the grave will be expanded. And you see, Allah established the formula when He brought us down into earth, meaning Adam, his wife Eve, Hawa, and Satan. قَالَ اهْبِطَ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. Go you down for a test, us. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى. Now, if you receive guidance from me, فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. If you follow this guidance, you're going to be happy. You're going to have a good life. You're going to be okay. Look, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي. If you turn away from it, even if you have all the glamours, all the resources of this world, فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. You will have a dunk life. You know. I remember the people who play basketball. They
make the slam dunk.
It's called dunk.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how life is going to be for those people, beaten up by you know, even though they may look, but in the
beaten up inside. They're inside, just inside.
Inside is so tight, and Shaitan managed to produce some substance that can straighten things up for a while. That's drinking, smoking, you know, the wrong substance. But they're going to end up with the mad cow disease. You know why these cows went mad? You know that, right? Because they were eating chemicals. Mm-hmm. They were feeding them chemicals.
They went away from the natural way. Yeah,
yeah. So that's not the natural way. Well, the scholars, Eddie, when they the subject of the holistic aims of the religion, the Sharia, the objectives of the Sharia. You know, they came up with a lot of objectives. But they said all of these objectives come down under one objective. What is the objective of the religion in Islam? What is the objective of Islam? دَفْعُ الْمَفَاسِدْ وَجَلْبُ الْمَصَالِحِ. The religion is there for you in order to expel all things that harm you and invite all things that benefit you. That's what the religion is.
Get rid of everything
that is bad.
That is bad.
Bad.
So this is what the Prophet Muhammad, he was sent as, to expose this dunya for what it
is. If you sum up the whole religion, you see what there is a subject in Islam that we study in school called Maqasid al-Sharia. It's a beautiful subject. And that subject you really need, especially if you are in the field of da'wah. Why? Because it shows you the wisdom behind the commands of Allah.
You're saying a word that's taboo for a lot of people when they people say
maqasid means
no, objective. It's Sharia. When you hear Sharia, guidance of God, how would you translate it?
Sharia
English?
Is
the
is,
guidance of God
is the religion, the guidance that comes, the divine guidance.
Divine guidance. Okay.
The divine guidance. The
Ten things, Commandments.
Yeah, similar to that. Everything.
Jesus was living by the Sharia.
Yeah, Sharia. Okay. Yeah, and he will come down to implement the Sharia.
So go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So what I was trying to say is. All the subject of the objectives, they say the protection of the self in order to protect the family, in order to protect the
objectives of the divine guidance
of the commands of Allah.
Yeah,
you know why are we not? Why shouldn't we drink? Why? So
messes
you look
up your mind.
You look at the wisdom because you know around 80,000+ every year in the United States are killed because of drunk driving.
Every 10 seconds, someone dies from alcohol. Every 10 seconds.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in America and we care about this country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm an American yourself. I'm sure you are, right?
Yes.
Okay, we live here and we care about this country. If our country is attacked by a foreign force that kills 80,000, what will we do? We'll go crazy. Imagine. Drunk driving, drinking. And we're not talking about the people there are lesser. Some of them go and beat up their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them go and shoot people, steal money. Okay? So there is an objective behind it. You understand? Why adultery? Adultery is haram in Islam. Why? You want to know why? There is an objective behind it. Why? Because adultery can cause the reproduction of a human being. Then this human being in Islam is entitled to the right to be born into a house with a wife and a husband. Not some people who got drunk and they went to the car and they slept with one another and they... You know how many kids in the United States of America don't know their father? Huh? Fathers. They don't know their father. You see, Islam says, no. You're harming the next generation.
That's a destruction
of humanity. That's a destruction. That's why the religion is to protect the progeny. They call it the progeny, the offspring. That they are entitled to what? To be born into a committed husband, a committed wife. Not a boyfriend, not a girl. Not a people still contemplating about the relationship to begin with. So if these people understand that these commands... And these, you know, the harm of eating. I'm sure you got into that diet and the harm of eating meat that is the blood is not filtered out, the Islamic way. Mm-hmm. You know, there is scholars tell you about the harm of eating pork and so there is an objective behind it. There's
nothing in Islam that there's not divine wisdom behind
there
it.
There is a divine wisdom, whether you know it or whether you don't know it.
Yeah.
You see? But so for these brothers and sisters in Islam, they need to understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Okay? Now, the creator is entitled to design the manual, which will fix us, which will take care of us. Look, and this is, by the way, something that Allah mentioned in the Quran. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Quran. The manual is the Quran. Eat this, do not eat that. Don't eat this, do not eat that. And if you want to submit to Allah, if you want to benefit from that manual, if you want to expel the harm from your lives, and if you want to invite all the benefits into your lives, that's what you have to do. You know, not to listen to these guys saying, follow my own lifestyle. I'm a good guy. And
this actually, we'll wrap it up here. Like you said, an agenda. There's Aleister Crowley, I believe it was. Is that his name? Crowley. This was a person who wrote a book. Connect. He was, and you speak a lot about this with the jinn and they push this agenda, it's kind of like do as thou will, right? So do as thou will is pretty much like the Jay-Z, that he calls himself Jay Jehovah, like he's a god. Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of things that are infiltrating the young minds. So before we wrap up now, for Zayn Malik, and then you finish your thought, and the people out there, and Muslims who are struggling, even someone not yet Muslims who are out there, you know, seeking purpose, they want to know what's the purpose of life. I often ask people to do something simple. Ask the Creator who created you. No intermediary, no human being on the ground. No, just ask the Creator for guidance. I leave him with that homework. What do you leave Zayn Malik when he's tuning in now that he left some, maybe he wasn't even living Islam, we don't know, but out of the love and other people who are following his footsteps or just struggling in general to find out purpose?
Let me begin with the people who are following his footsteps.
Yeah.
To free him from, you know, because I'm telling you, Zayn Malik will be held accountable in the day of judgment because of those people, and that's the message I'm going to give to him.
Mm-hmm.
But let me begin with the people. You see, when unfortunately, and I hate to say that, but I can provide references to that. Something that Christian and Jews did to their guidance is the demolishing of role models. You know, in the character of the prophets and the messengers. And
mm-hmm.
You read, for example, in the book of Genesis, that Noah, after he got off the ark, he got drunk and...
Totally unacceptable. We don't accept this.
Imagine someone who spent 950 years calling people to something so beautiful called Tawheed. Lot is combating immorality to begin with. Immorality. You're probably familiar with that text, right?
Yeah, Genesis...
Incest or whatever they call
it. With his daughters.
So what is Dawood alayhi salam? Dawood is admiring his general's wife, and
he kills him and has
So this is called what? The destruction of the role models.
Destruction of the role models through the prophets
and the messengers.
This is the deliberate attempt. Absolutely. This is deliberate.
The same thing happened in Islam, or the attempt to do in Islam.
We're not saying that Christians living today or anyone, they did this. This is people who made the text.
It's inherited.
At the time. This is evil people who changed the text.
Yes.
Right?
Orchestrated.
So now you've been...
So associating evil with those people and associating goodness with
those
people.
This is not putting you down or anything.
No, it's calling you to wake up and see. I hate to do that. We care about those people. So now, the same exact thing happened to the Muslim world. How? You got some Muslims out there, so-called Muslims, may Allah guide them, who's going after the companions, after the Sahaba. The destruction of the role model.
Mm.
So the imams of the masjid or the scholars, they go ahead and they accuse them of allegations. Oh, the guys had a relationship with this woman and with this man. So now there is no role model out there for the youth. Who are they going to follow?
Zayn Malik? that's the wrong role model.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. If you cannot find... YouTube or whoever it is. I'm sorry, brothers. I'm sorry. I tell you this, wallahi, for the sake of Allah. If you cannot find a living role model in Karim Abu Zayd, which is Karim Abu Zayd is full of faults, full of issues, then... Go back to the biography of the Sahaba, the biography of the predecessors, the biography of your messenger, and adopt their attitude, their thing. Don't follow just because it's a vacuum. You see, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent human messengers, because the human being is more tuned to follow a template. You know, I want to be like Eddie, what Eddie does. Now, likewise. So if you cannot find that living role model around you, don't go and fill that vacuum with Zayn, Malik and Whitney Houston or something like that.
Who are some of the guys?
We're totally
out of touch.
Yes. So
50 Cent, Eminem, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, yeah.
Fousey Tube.
Beyonce, here you go.
Adam Sally.
Yeah.
These are the guys out there. You're filling me in. Yeah.
So at any rate, you always make me laugh in your show, which is nice. So that's the message to the followers. Don't fill that vacuum with anything. You know, I always like to use that example is, you know, imagine someone who's so thirsty in a desert. He hasn't had water for maybe a year. Can you imagine that feeling of And he's looking for water to drink. And all what he find, found in his way is ma'asin. You know, ma'asin is a water that is what?
Dirty.
Yeah. No. Don't do that. Don't drink that. Wait a little bit. Hang in there. There is clearer, purer, beautiful water that will give you happiness in this world and success in the hereafter. Don't just go and drink that water and you see, you need to understand that these guys, they feel guilty. They are not following the religion. And they feel guilty about it. They're conscious. They can't sleep at night.
That's a good point.
They can't sleep at night. They are tired of that guilt. Now their consciousness doesn't allow them to sleep at night. Okay, let me follow Malik, Zain Malik. At least he will, I can sleep at night. He's a Muslim, but he does that, my consciousness will allow me to sleep at night.
And if we get in trouble in the hellfire, we'll be in there together for a little bit.
Yeah. We'll go back to Zain here. Zain, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You know, that's the danger. The danger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in an authentic hadith, Hadith Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu, sahih Imam Muslim, man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana. Imagine if you introduce a good act and people follow it. Imagine. That is why all the ummah will be in the scale of the messenger of the Prophet, of the messenger of Allah in the Day of Judgment. Everything that you do, the Prophet will get a share of that. Likewise, everything that you do wrong and the people follow you, you know, the son of Adam who killed his brother? Mm-hmm. Imagine this. Every murder, Hadith ibn Umar fil Bukhari.
Subhanallah.
Every murder, every bloodshed in the face of this earth, he will get the share of that.
We call that trending now. Yes. So now you're creating a trend.
Why? Because he is the one who initiated killing. Likewise, if you introduce that fake religious formula and present it to the people to make them happy, guess what? If they follow you, you will be like the son of Adam.
SubhanAllah. Sheikh, one more thing I got to get you. Someone says, and we're done. Tell us, someone says, look, you guys, you're just too judgmental. Why are you judging him? Let his account be with Allah. Leave him, or anybody. This is just in general. What do you say to that?
مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ. Whoever amongst you sees something wrong, talk about it. Change it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that passive character, Islam doesn't like it. You see, that's why Allah described us to be the best ummah. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our messenger the final messenger. Why? Because he trusted us that we will do the work of the messengers after him. We're not messengers, but we'll do the work of prophets. We're not going to... So the Prophet ﷺ said that if you see something bad, change it. Don't change it. How, ya Rasulullah? Hand, force. But sometimes hand and force, you know, will invite evil. Remember what we said, that it's always benefits and evil, mm-hmm. You know. Then go to the tongue. Speak nice. And that's what we're doing, by the way. That's level two.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to force anybody to, you know, we're just going to convey the message. So the tongue, but sweet, and we try to be sweet. I think you are so sweet. I'm not sure about me. I'm always tough. But, you know, we're kind. You know, because sometimes people use the tongue like the sword.
Yeah,
you know,
we shouldn't do that.
No, it has to be a language of da'wah.
I think this is love. You really genuinely want good for people.
Because you care.
Yeah.
I mean, I care about my brothers. I care about Zain, Malik, and all of them, you know. Now, what if you're unable to use the hand, use the tongue? Then it's time to leave. Then the heart. And a lot of people misunderstand the heart. They think the heart that you can deny it with your heart and still be in the gathering. No. You have to what? You have to build that wall. You have to go to that planet where I am right now.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you. It's always a pleasure having you with us. Thank you. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Now everybody has a message. And you're either setting good trends or following bad trends, and you're passing along those trends that we talked about, that at the end of the day we'll be accountable when life ends, because it will end. Death is a reality. We're all going to die. So why not spread that good message, send out, be upon good trends, so at the end when you're called back to your Creator, you can be in a good state. and we leave you with that homework. If you're confused, you're seeking to know purpose, you don't know purpose, ask the one who created you for a noble purpose. I'm leaving you with that simple homework. The one who created you, ask him, guide me. And then be sincere and move forward to live a morally upright life and setting those good trends, living it balanced. And when you get to know this deen, this way of life, you'll see that it's pure, it's goodness, and brings peace and contentment to the heart. And then you can go ahead and have something that money can't buy, because you cannot buy a six-pack of peace. Peace is something you get from your creator. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.